Hello, friends, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 3rd of December. I'm Paul White. Today we arrive at the end of the book of Proverbs. I've been jumping around, actually moving forward, but just hitting the highlights, spots in the book of Proverbs, same way we did with Psalms, that speak something to me of a new covenant reality. Today I arrive in chapter 31, the final chapter of Proverbs. Proverbs is one of those famous books for daily devotions. You can take a 31-day month, read a proverb, a chapter's worth of Proverbs every day, and you will read the book of Proverbs through in a month. When you arrive at 31, you've come to the most famous passage probably in the Bible in regards to women, wives, mothers. It's a chapter, at least the last 22 verses, that get quoted or preached every year on Mother's Day. And to be honest, I think it's become a chapter that's a little burdensome for a lot of women because it's looked at as some list of instructions and things you're supposed to live up to. And to me, the yoke is easy, the burden is light. So if we're reading a passage that has become burdensome to us because we feel like we can't live up to it, then maybe we need to re-examine that passage and figure out what it's trying to say. I don't mean we need to remove it, get rid of it, dumb it down, water it down. We just need to realize what it's trying to say. Specifically, I'm talking, of course, about verses 10 to verse 31 at the end of Proverbs 31. And this is often called the passage of the virtuous woman or the virtuous wife, And it's used to describe what a woman of God, the ideal woman of God, looks like. But I think we've missed a few things that need to go into consideration when we take a look at Proverbs 31. One of the things is something that we didn't talk about in Psalms. We could have. We kind of saved it for this moment. We did a little bit of work in Psalms 119 on a few passages. And I made mention in there that Psalms 119 has a very specific split, and I told you we wouldn't deal with it at the moment. Well, it's a perfect moment to deal with it now, because Psalms 119, as well as a lot of Psalms, by the way, and Proverbs 31 are what's called acrostic poems. And an acrostic poem is a body of writing in which each line begins with a successive letter of the alphabet. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31, is 22 verses long. The beginning of each verse starts with each letter of the Hebrew alphabet in order, from Aleph all the way through Tav. And the 22 verses kick off at the top of each line with the successive letter from the alphabet. If you were doing that in English, then you would take the alphabet A to Z, and the first line would start with A, and the second line would start with B, on down through. It was a poetic way of saying something that scholars are kind of torn on whether it was to help for memorization purposes or if it was to show off. I would say maybe both. Yeah, why not both? Scholars or writers and scribes have never been beyond showing off, and memorization has been a good thing too, especially in cultures that were more audible learners than visual learners, and so you heard those words being spoken, and then you were able to memorize them. So that acrostic is important only really in the Hebrew, because when you look at that in the English, you don't see it. So you're not going to open Proverbs 31:10 and see a letter that starts with A and then B and then C, because it doesn't work that way. Instead, the translators made it sound cohesive in English, but the words are different in the Hebrew. Now, what that has to do with Psalms 119, this is worth you maybe opening your Bible and jotting this down. You may have already done this somewhere in your margins, but say Psalms 119 is a very complex acrostic, almost to the point of exhaustion. Psalms 119 has 22 segments, and each segment is subtitled by a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, but then each segment is 8 verses long, And each of those eight lines start with the letter in that section. So if this was English, then the first eight verses start with the word A. Then the second section, the second eight verses start with the letter B, then C, on and on and on, all the way through. And that's why Psalms 119 is so long, because the author, it's not as if the author was trying to tell a bigger story. It was that the author had something in mind they were trying to do. Again, is that a little bit of a showing out? Perhaps. But for the Proverbs 31 acrostic, the fact that it's an acrostic tells us maybe also that memorization was necessary. But what we forget sometimes in our rush to, I think, feel like we have found sort of the ultimate passage for Mother's Day or for virtuous women, is that in Hebrew history, it wasn't women that memorized Proverbs 31, it was men. Men memorized the Proverbs 31 passage as a way to vocally celebrate women. And if you look through verses 10 to verse 31, there's really not that much instruction save for one moment. And that's at the end of the song, the end of the proverb, when men are told to give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Or as some translations say, you praise the work of her hands. So it's men praising women in Proverbs 31. But Proverbs 31 is a the picture of, or a sign of, the wise woman or the woman of wisdom. What it really says to me is a word that gets lost in the English, and that's in verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? The word virtuous is better translated as the word valor. And valor is not something that you do. Valor is the way that you do it. I think there's beauty to be found in Proverbs 31 if we were to use it as a way to show women not what they're supposed to be, but to show all of us what we look like when we are being our best. And so you can just investigate that chapter and not, and don't prop it up and go, well, I'm not doing that, and I'm not doing that, I must not be a virtuous woman. No, you're a woman of valor, or even a man of valor. This chapter specifically for women, a woman of valor is how you carry yourself, not what you accomplish, not what you look like, not what you do, not the job you have, not whether you're a housewife or a career woman, but it's how you carry yourself. And in some respects, we as the church, being the woman in the marriage relationship with Christ, it's not what we're doing, it's how we're carrying ourselves that is that valor. It's not whether you're in ministry, pulpit ministry, or whether you're in quote-unquote secular job. It's how we carry ourselves as sons and daughters of the King. All right, we are done with our look at Proverbs. I do want to talk a little bit about Ecclesiastes and how we should handle it through the New Covenant, because it's a very interesting book, and we'll do that tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.